Welcome to church. So glad you've joined us this weekend and all of our locations, all of our Hocassin church family, and all of you joining us online, and then those of you who are ramping up to be a part of our Middletown church family, and then our Elkton church family, and our Kennett Square church family, and our Smyrna church family, and our New Jersey church family, and everybody who's going to be a part of our church family in the future. Very, very glad you're here this weekend, and we are in week three of a series that we've called Empowered. We've been talking about how God wants to do more in and through our lives through the Holy Spirit, which is how followers of Jesus refer to God in his presence and power at work within us and through us. I'm going to wrap up the series next weekend, but for today, for part three, many of you may know, if you've been coming to the Journey for a little while, that Susie, my wife, and I have a son who has autism. His name is Connor. He's a pretty cool dude, And when Connor was very little, and really for a long time, he did not have a lot of language, and he still doesn't have just a ton of language, but when he was very little, if he would say something, it was a big deal. You know, we were always like eager to hear what he had to say, and sometimes he would say, we'd think he wasn't paying any attention, and he would say kind of the most unusual things that fit the context. We got a lot of laughs out of that over the years, and we were traveling with him a few years ago, and visiting another church, not in our state, not in our area, and we visited there for a weeknight service that they had, and they did not have an environment for Connor. It didn't have a kids environment. It didn't have a special needs environment or anything like that, so we kept him with us in the auditorium, but we were very intentional. We sat toward the back. We brought stuff to keep him entertained and hopefully quiet, and we noticed when we were walking into this church that on the back wall, so it'd be kind of like above the wall behind me right now, there was a sign or these block letters that spelled out, big block letters, God is love. Pretty encouraging and accurate, so it was great to see that. But apparently something had happened before the service, and one of the letters, the L, had come loose, and it was dangling. So it kind of said, God is, you know, it just wasn't very, obviously you kind of knew what it was, but it's like, something's not right. So we noticed that, we walked in, service was going along, was going great for a few minutes, and then there was kind of a lull, a quiet moment. Somebody was sharing some promotions and things going on, and there was a quiet moment. All of a sudden, Connor looked up from whatever he was looking at and yelled out, you dropped the L! So we ran out of the church as fast as we could. No, we didn't do that. I don't know if you've ever been in an environment like that. That's what happens, by the way, when Connor comes to church. He's going to point it out. If it's not right, he's going to point it out. There's just something unusual going on. Something's not the way it's supposed to be. And if you've ever been in an environment where something was so obviously out of place, something was missing, something was not right, you can probably relate to Connor. You just want to yell out. Maybe you have more restraint than he demonstrated in that moment, but you just want to yell out, you dropped the L, like, something's not right. I don't know if anybody else notices or not, but something's not quite right. And wherever we find ourselves spiritually, so whatever your experience with God or church, Jesus, any of that has been, we've been talking about what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And we've said that God doesn't force himself into our lives. We've got to be open and receptive. But when the Holy Spirit, the presence and power of God, begins to work in our lives, some amazing things happen. And if you missed the first two parts of the series, I encourage you to go back and watch those. But for week three, I want to talk about what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to church. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes to church? And here's what I know. Some of us are church people. We've done the church thing for a long time. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands at our location, but some of us, like, we're like, I know church, man. I've been doing church. Some of us have been going to church since we were kids. We've seen it all. We've seen some good things happen in church. We've probably seen some you drop the L moments, am I right? Like we've seen it all. Others of us were brand new to this. We're like, man, I'm still not sure about church. This is new to me. I sat on the end of my row today in case I need to make a quick exit. Like, I'm just not so sure. A lot of us are somewhere in between. Maybe we'd gone to church earlier in life and we drifted away. Now we're coming back and we're finding this renewed expression of our faith. But the question for all of us is, how do we make sure church, our church, and we're just one church in the larger capital C church in the world, but for our community of faith, how do we make sure we don't drop the L? How do we make sure we don't drop the Holy Spirit? How do we make sure that this doesn't just become a place where people come to check the box or fulfill a religious obligation, that our church isn't just a club for people who already believe all of the same things, but instead is a spiritual hospital for the hurting, and the Holy Spirit is really able to work and transform lives? How do we make sure we don't drop the L? And there's actually a book in the New Testament of the Bible that I believe shows us how. It's the book of Acts in the New Testament. The reason it's called Acts is because when the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of people in a community of faith, stuff actually happens. It's not just a bunch of talk, not just a bunch of good feelings. God is actually at work. Real things are happening. People's lives are being transformed. And Acts describes the first church living out their faith, first followers of Jesus living out their faith imperfectly, but very passionately, and ultimately effectively in a way that changed the world. And at one point early on, some of Jesus' followers, including two guys named Peter and John, are facing persecution for their faith. And Luke, who wrote Acts, describes it like this. He says, the members of the councils, this was a group of religious and political leaders who were opposed to the movement of Jesus, were suspicious of it, wanted to snuff it out. They had brought Peter and John in, but they were amazed when they saw their boldness. It's an important word. For they could see that they were ordinary men. They were just real guys with no special training in the scriptures. But they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. I want you to notice what these guys' critics are amazed by. Peter and John's boldness. They're bold about their faith. They're just ordinary people like you and me. But they're bold. A healthy, spiritually alive church is full of ordinary people. So if you feel ordinary today, be encouraged. Like if you're like me and you're very aware, man, I do not have it all together. I have limits. I have issues. I've got things I'm still trying to figure out. I'm just an ordinary person. Be encouraged. You are who God wants to work with. If you feel extraordinary, if you just feel like, man, I am just brimming with good things, I'm amazing, basically, that's another message for another time. You need something called humility, which is a very important part of following Jesus. But if you have lots of days when you feel very ordinary, be encouraged, because it's people who are ordinary, but the only thing extraordinary about them is they have been with Jesus. That's who changes the world. As long as we're bold about it. We don't change the world by being very hesitant and private and keeping everything Jesus has done close to the chest. We change the world when Jesus is transforming our lives, and we know it's not us because we're just ordinary. We know it's Him, but we're bold about it. No special training, no long resume or list of degrees that we've earned. And nothing wrong with that, but that's not what qualifies us to represent Jesus in the world. It's that we are ordinary people who know an extraordinary leader and Lord. And we're bold about it. Bold about it. And it isn't just, in Hokesson, people are just clapping, just woo! In Newark, we were a little bit slow, but we got it. Online, people are dancing around the living room. They're like, yeah. You gotta be bold about it. So that's what we're talking about today. Yeah. So it isn't, yeah, thank you. All right, simmer down. I gotta teach. Don't take it too far now. So it isn't just Peter and John. It's not just their boldness. Later in the same chapter in the book of Acts, the church actually meets together to pray about this persecution that they're facing. So they're aware we're getting a lot of pressures from the world around us, opposed to the message of Jesus. So they come together and they pray, and listen to their prayer. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and wipe them out. No, that's not what they pray. Now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great, there's the word, boldness in preaching your word. Not boldness in proclaiming our opinions or our political views or our issues with culture. We want to proclaim you and your word. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, which indicates God liked that prayer, right? He's like, that's a good prayer. I'm going to respond to that. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So what happened? Then all their problems were solved. Nobody persecuted them anymore. They won the Powerball, got a raise, kids cleaned their rooms, parents got along. Everything was great from that moment on. No, then they got what they asked for. They preached the word of God with boldness. What mattered to God mattered to them. And God said, I'm going to honor that prayer. I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit. And they already had the Holy Spirit, but they were filled all over again because God wants more for us. And they began to proclaim the word of God with boldness. Let me ask you the question. What are you most bold about in your life right now? So some of us are bold people by personality, bold, we're bold. Others of us, we're like, I'm not bold. But if you had to rate it, everything in your life, look at everything in your life, of all the things you're passionate about, enthusiastic about, excited about, which one's at the top of the list? Maybe for some of us, it's our football team. Football, we're bold about, we're like, bold. And over the next few months, it is true, battle lines will be drawn, talking heads will debate first downs and defensive ends, merch will be rocked and mocked. Stats will be followed, intense arguments will occur, people will get red in the face, people will be in the stands or staring at their TV screen, elation and devastation will occur all within 2 hours because it's important. It's wildly important. This leather ball is going back and forth across this field. This has eternal ramifications. It's important. So important. I'm bold about it. Nervous laughter. That's what that is. Like, So if you're feeling a little uncomfortable right now or like, oh yeah, it's probably true. I just want to ask, if you know Jesus, is that what you're going to spend your life most bold about? There's nothing wrong with being bold about football. I hope you're bold, but I hope that's not the thing you're most bold about. And for all of us who are going, come on, stop picking on the football fans. Yeah, I know, I hear you. You're like, now you're meddling, preacher. You just... Just insert whatever, politics. Some of us are bold about our political views. These passive-aggressive posts. Bold about it. TikTok. Bold. Shoes. Bold. Vacations. The stock market. Your opinion about how the people with a C in their title are running the company you work for, the CEO and the CFO and the CTO and the COO. Like, I've got opinions for it. They would just ask me. Bold about it. Some of us are very bold about fill in the blank. We're followers of Jesus, but it's been a long time since we boldly told somebody what Jesus has done for us. Not that what we're bold about is wrong, it's just not going to matter in the end as much as being bold about our faith. Here's what I want you to know this weekend. When the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings boldness. Not arrogance, not cockiness, boldness. This humble strength and willingness to step out there and talk about Jesus. He brings boldness. That's why we're meeting this week for a week of prayer. Starting Monday evening, we're going to get together, do what the first followers of Jesus did. We're going to pray together, and we're going to believe God that we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, renewed in the presence and power of God, so we can head into this fall empowered by God. And part of what he wants to empower us for is to invest in friendships with people who need Jesus and invite them to experience God with us, to be bold about our faith. That's why we're launching a location in Middletown, to bring more of the word of God boldly to that city. And we're not going to be the only church in that city. There are great churches in Middletown. We're just going to be one more bringing the word of God boldly. And I'm working on this, by the way. I'm challenged by this. Don't tell my neighbors this because it would freak them out, I think, a little bit. But I have a map of our neighborhood. Not kidding. And I keep it in, we have this little room in our house where I do my slot and spot, my time and place with God every day. And I have that map of our neighborhood, and I pray over our neighborhood, and I'm praying over our neighbors, and I'm looking for opportunities to have more conversations. We first started the journey over the first 3 or 4 years. I probably invited close to 200 people to church. And not because I'm that guy, but just because I've got to be that guy. And I think I've gotten a little complacent. And so I'm just asking God, make me bold again for you. And I know like a lot of people in my world have already heard, they see me coming. But make me bold again about sharing my faith in Jesus and what Jesus has done for me. Come on, anybody with me? Anybody feel the Holy Spirit just stirring you up to be a little bolder about your faith in Jesus? Let's be bolder. What are we believing God most for this fall? More blessing for us or more boldness to proclaim Jesus to others? Nothing wrong with blessing. I want it. Bring it on. But are we so preoccupied with God, bless me, bless my kids, bless my house, bless my career, bless my school, bless my finances, bless, that we're forgetting to go, God, fill me with boldness to bring you to a hurting world. When the Holy Spirit comes to church, if he sees complacency, he whispers, you drop the B. B is for boldness. So you drop the B. You know what you get when you take the B off of boldness? The same tired oldness. We don't want to be a church filled with the same tired oldness. We want to be a church filled with boldness. Let's be bold about our faith. You say, that's so simplistic, man. I know, stick around, it'll keep being simplistic. Because sometimes that's what we need. Our problem is not that we know that we don't know enough. Our problem is we're not doing enough. If we would do half of what we know, we would change the world. We just need to get back to a bold faith in Jesus. And I know it's challenging for us, and God knows it's challenging for us to speak up in the marketplace. There are pressures. You say, I could lose my job. I could miss out on that promotion. I could start to become, you know, people in the office could look at me sideways, people at school. I could become unpopular. I know it's all a risk. That's why the Holy Spirit wants to empower us so we see clearly what matters most. When the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings boldness. And that's not all. When the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings boldness, but Acts 4 continues, all the believers were united in heart and mind. They are united in heart and mind. Not only are they bold, but they're united. Not in looks and opinions, not in race and age, not in social status and income. They are united in heart and mind. They share a common culture. This is how we are here. And a common mission. This is what we're trying to accomplish. They're united. When the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings unity. He brings this alignment, this togetherness, this closeness. You ever been in an environment or a relationship where there's disunity, where it's just like people are not getting along? Have you been there? You ever been in that situation? It's terrible, isn't it? Maybe you're at work and there's a cutthroat atmosphere, like everybody's just kind of stabbing each other in the back and they're just coming at each other from all angles. It's the worst, isn't it? Anybody been in that situation? Anybody? Has nobody been in that situation? Maybe you feel like that's how 10th grade is for you this year. Just conflict at school and pressures from every side. And you're like, how do I fit in? What do I do? It just feels like they're all, it's cutthroat. There's disunity. Maybe it's in a relationship with your girlfriend or boyfriend or fiance or spouse. Have you been there? Just picking at each other. You always, you never, there you go again. Come on, anybody else ever been there? Anybody ever been in a relationship with another human? I'm just wondering. Like, it's the worst, isn't it? When there's disunity, it's the worst. The atmosphere is full of tension, just sucks the oxygen out of the room and out of the relationship and out of the environment. There's a saying, I heard it years ago, but I was reminded of it this past week. Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. And when there's disunity, there's always... The Holy Spirit, when he comes to church, wants to expand our minds so that we don't get caught up in the details that divide us, but we get caught up in an idea that unites us, and that is that Jesus is leader and Lord of our lives. He died to forgive our sins, rose again, he's real, he changes lives. That unites us. And when the Holy Spirit comes to church, real people gather, connect, and serve in unity. That's the why behind our J groups. Ordinary people with no special training who simply believe in Jesus, creating a space for other people to get closer to God and closer to each other. That's unity. It's the why behind our J team. Ordinary people with no special training who've simply been with Jesus, serving and leading others. We want unity in our community of faith. We want to have the same culture and the same vision around Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So listen, Journey, don't drop the U for unity. As we head into this fall, don't let complacency, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, don't let complacency keep you isolated from the people of God. Did you know that if the enemy of your faith can't convince you to stop being bold about what you believe, he'll get you frustrated with your spiritual family? Because he knows either of those will derail you and keep you from being effective. But when there's boldness and there's unity and we don't allow the differences that divide us, that the differences that don't matter most, when we don't allow those to divide us and keep us from aligning around the one who does matter most, powerful things can happen. And Jesus has given us a mission as a church to help people find Jesus and follow him fully all over our region. When the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings unity. Boldness and unity, and here's the last part. And they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. All right, for a minute, lay aside the Bible, God, Jesus, church, the Holy Spirit, all of that. So if you're here, not sure what you believe about any of that, lay all of that aside for a moment. Imagine that you have two friends. One of those friends, they're very important people to you. You want to be closer to both of them. One of those two friends loves to give. They're just a generous person. You don't have to, it's not like they do it out of guilt or anybody's twisting their arm. They're just, you can tell how fulfilled they are. You're like, hey, that's too much. Stop, you're too generous. They're like, I know, but this is what fulfills me. Let me give. And the other friend loves to take. They're always trying to figure out a way that they don't have to pay. Anybody else? They're like, yeah. And they just love, they take, they don't get, they're always looking for a way that the relationship can benefit them, and they never seem to be aware that they're taking and never giving back. Let me ask you a question, very simple. Which of those two people do you think over the long haul you're going to naturally get closer to? The giver, right? There's something in us, even if we're not generous ourselves, we recognize the power of it. We're drawn to it. We're drawn to generosity because it's hardwired into us. Science even shows that chemically we are wired and, I believe, designed so that when we give to help someone else in need, there is a greater positive chemical reaction that occurs inside our bodies than when we spend to serve ourselves. It's actually a brokenness in our condition that takes. We were designed to give. Biologically designed to give. So, here's some good news. You don't need the Holy Spirit for that. You don't need God. Just stop being so stingy, and your life will get better. You're welcome. Watch it happen. I promise you. So, man, my marriage and my spouse, and they just go home and for 6 weeks, selflessly give and serve your spouse. And watch what happens. You'll either get clearer about the real issues or they will come running towards you. Because it just works. Friendships at school, instead of trying to get everybody at school to like you, start liking the overlooked people at school. Watch what happens in your life. It just works. You don't need God. It's hardwired into us. So if you're like, I'm an atheist, man, I don't believe any of this, then the last 3 minutes are what you came to church for. Your whole world can get better. Just don't be stingy. You're welcome. But for all of us who do believe in God, let's put God back in the picture. Because when the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings generosity, and it goes beyond just biological wiring. It is actually a spiritual thing that happens in and through the people of God when we respond to how the Holy Spirit is leading us. Look at these people in Acts 4. They change their mindset about money and possessions. This is so powerful. Before they met Jesus, they assumed, as many of us did before we met Jesus, that whatever they had in their bank account, in their driveway, in their basement, in their assets, in their investment accounts, they just assumed, oh, I have it, so it's mine. But now that they've met Jesus, they have a new way of looking at everything. Now they realize what we own is not really our own. Why? Because I don't have a life anymore. That is the teaching of the New Testament. I don't have a life anymore. I had a life before I met Jesus. It was not working well. I traded that life that was not working well for a new life that Jesus gave me that is all about Him. My new life is hidden with Christ in God. And He gave me a new life, which means I don't own anything anymore. It's all His. And thank God, I don't have to freak out over it anymore. I don't have to lie awake at night worried about it anymore. I don't have to wonder where it's going to come from anymore. I traded my old life for a new life in Jesus. You say, how does that play out? It plays out when we begin to give our time, talent, and treasure because what we own is no longer our own. And that's what they do in Acts 4. They give, they share what they have. And they don't give like people whose lives haven't been changed by Jesus. Everybody gives. Giving's not a Christian thing. But people whose lives have not yet been changed by Jesus, who've not allowed the Holy Spirit to really work, give occasionally and incrementally. They give when they're moved emotionally or when they have extra to spare. People whose lives have been changed by Jesus do not give occasionally and incrementally or when we're moved emotionally or have extra to spare. We give continually and extravagantly, sharing everything we have. Why? Because what we own is no longer our own. And for some of us, we're going, I want more of you, God. And the God in whose image we are created says, well, I want to give you more. Are you a giver or a taker? Because I get closer and closer to givers and further from takers. Because we're made in His image. The reason we're drawn to generosity is because He's drawn to generosity. Because He is an astoundingly generous God. And He has been good to us. He has been good to us. There's a family who started coming to our church a couple of years ago. And their lives were being changed by Jesus here. And they had been thinking about relocating, about moving. And they've been thinking about eventually we'd like to maybe move south, maybe to the Middletown area. And this was just a thought in their minds, but when we announced we're starting a location in Middletown, they looked at each other and said, I guess we're moving. It just felt like this is what we need. This is what we're supposed to be a part of. But a year and a half before, the wife in this couple had been working in the Middletown area, and she saw a vacant lot with a beautiful tree growing in it. So she FaceTimed her husband with the tree in the background and said, baby, wouldn't it be great if one day we were able to build a house here and have that tree in our backyard? But they weren't ready to make a move yet, and so they kind of forgot it happened. But then they heard, sometime later, we're starting a location in Middletown, had that moment, looked at each other, I guess we're moving, and some time went on, and they decided, okay, we're ready, we're going to move. And they sat down with a builder near that area in Middletown, and they listed out everything they wanted in a house. And in the conversation, the builder said, you know, happy to build you a house, but we've actually already started one that I think has everything you're looking for. So it turns out there was a family, I guess, or something had happened that someone had chosen all of these fixtures and the same exact ones that this couple were hoping to have in their home, down to the color of the floors and the cabinets. And guess what's in the backyard? That tree. Pretty cool story, right? They even prayed before all this happened. They prayed that they would be able to move into their new home before our Middletown location launch so they could be day one. And I made a mistake earlier this weekend in saying what their settlement date was. I got corrected. I thought it was amazing, but I got corrected. Guess when their settlement date is? So I said when we started the weekend, it was 2 weeks before. It's the Wednesday before our Middletown location launches. Cool story. But here's the backstory. When they first decided to list their previous home for sale, they said, we're going to give our first. We're going to bring our tithe, the first 10% of any profit we make off selling this house, and we're going to give it back to what matters to God. And they did 2 weeks ago. So God did not have to give them that house with the tree in the backyard. But I think the Holy Spirit said, oh, what matters to you matters to me? Or what matters to me matters to you, rather? Then what matters to you matters to me. If you're going to make what matters to me first in your life, then I'm going to provide for you. And please understand, God didn't have to twist their arm. He didn't say, I'll give you a tree. He didn't have to do that. That's what people whose lives haven't been transformed by Jesus require. They require God to make promises in advance. But people whose lives have been transformed by Jesus know he has already promised in advance. Our God is able to provide all you need according to your riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you read Acts 4, the believers that give like this, they are blessed by God. But that's actually not what's most important to them. What's most important to them is that God works through their continual putting of God first, through their generosity to meet people's needs. If you know Jesus, if you don't, and take a pass on this, but if you know Jesus, I want to ask you a question. Are you tithing? Are you giving your first consistently, continually, or are you waiting for somebody else to pick up the tab on what God wants to do in our region? Giver, taker. When the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings generosity. And when there isn't generosity, the Holy Spirit creates a moment like this one where he goes life-givingly and lovingly, but clearly, you drop the G. You drop the generosity. You got distracted. Used to tithe, but then things got tight. You're waiting for the math to work. God's not into math. He's into faith. And if you get into faith, the math will work. But if you get into the math, the faith will never work. Have you dropped the G? When the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings generosity. There's no chance that the greatest giver of all is going to unleash everything he has for our lives while we're still holding tight-fistedly onto our money. But when we let go and we trust God, the Holy Spirit brings extravagant generosity. Needs are met. God's word is proclaimed. Locations are started. Hungry people are fed. The poor have a reason to rejoice. People who've been oppressed and addicted and ensnared by the things of this world find freedom and hope because the people of God stop holding back and they start giving like the God they serve. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to church. He brings boldness, unity, and generosity. Don't drop the B. Don't drop the U. Don't drop the G. So this fall, let's be bold. How about we just decide? How about we stop saying, oh no, 11th grade's when I'll be bold. Or when I'm a senior manager, I'll be bold. Or when I turn 30, I'll be bold. How about we just say, come on, Journey. This fall, we're going to be bold about our faith in Jesus. We're going to pray that God would give us boldness. Say, where do I start? Start with that prayer. God, would you make me bold for what matters to you? And what matters most is that people hear about Jesus. So I'm challenging you. Be bold this fall. Join the Middletown launch team. Come to Plugged In if you haven't already. Get bold about living out your faith. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get bold about it. And then we're going to be united. Don't drop the U. Lead a J group this fall. Lean into relationships with people going the same direction spiritually. Do what God has called you to do. Be a part of what God has made you a part of. Let's be united together. And then let's be generous. Let's stop making excuses. Let's stop procrastinating. Let's stop doing all that. And let's just say, God, what I own is not my own. I'm going to put you first every time it comes in. The first thing that happens is it goes out to what matters to you. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to be generous. Let's stop waiting for our faith to catch up with our income. It's time to tell our income it needs to catch up with our faith. We're going to put God first in our lives, and we're going to trust him. Because when the Holy Spirit comes to church, he brings boldness, unity, and generosity. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to pray that over us, and I'm going to pray specifically over a week of prayer. It's getting ready to start Monday evening. God will move in the life of our church. But before I do that, I want to take a moment and talk to any of you in one of our physical rooms or watching online right now. I know this was a bold message. And I just want you to know this is how much this matters to us as followers of Jesus. We cannot afford to get complacent because you need Christ. That's why we're so passionate about it. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus yet, in one of our rooms watching online, what made the difference for those first followers of Jesus that I just talked about was not that they were special. It's not that they were religious. It's not that they had it all together. It's that they had been with Jesus. They knew Jesus. And that can happen in your life if you're ready to trade your old life that isn't working, that life without God, for new life in Christ. You can today. And I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer. You may have spent your life saying, I'll never be like one of those crazy Christians. And today's the day you become one of those crazy Christians. And I'm just telling you, there could be no greater decision that you could make. So I want everyone to open your heart up to God with me. I want to pray over you. If that's you today in one of our rooms watching online, you don't know Jesus yet and you want to, pray with faith in your heart something like this. Whisper it out right where you are. Jesus, today I believe in you. I believe you are the leader and Lord of my life. I've ignored you for a long time. I've rejected you for a long time. But today, I'm turning to you. Save me now. I believe you died to forgive my sins and that you rose again. By your power, I'm going to follow you. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that, I'm taking that step today. Would you lift your hand, just hold it up high, boldly. I'm putting my faith in Jesus today, trusting him with my life. Yeah, putting my faith in him. You're in Newark and Hokesson online. And if that's you, I'm celebrating that with you today. And here's what we're going to do together. I want to encourage you to stand with me right now. We're going to wrap up this gathering in just a couple of minutes. But first, before we do, I want to pray over all of us, whether you've been following Jesus for a while or you just put your faith in him right now. We are starting week of prayer tomorrow evening. Every weekday evening, Monday through Friday, we'll connect together to pray as a church. We're going to pray that we would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for boldness and unity and generosity in our church. But I believe God's going to do a work in your life, and I'm praying that over you. That there are things in your life that when you make what matters to God first for you, he's going to provide all you need, and he's going to make what matters to you important to him. I really believe that, and I want to pray that over us. So I want, one more time, just everybody, open your heart up big to God. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with anticipation about week of prayer. Let me pray it over us. Holy Spirit, we come to you, our great God and King. We sense your presence in our church. We sense that you're doing something. It's just a little bit beyond what we programmed and planned. It's just a little bit more than we expected or were used to. But it's a move of you, God. It's a move of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray right now, I believe there are some of us that are going to gather this week to pray, and we're going to come with problems that we have tried to solve. Some of us have spent years trying to get a door to open with no success. And in one moment, God, you can speak a word and you can open a door that no one can shut. God, I believe some of us are going to bring sickness that we've waited for you to heal, God, and you are going to move by your miraculous power, and you're going to turn the cancer around, you're going to turn the disease around, you're going to turn the sickness around by the power of the name of Jesus, and people are going to be healed this week. I believe there are relationships that have been broken by distrust and dysfunction, and this week there's going to be healing and reconciliation, and families are going to be made whole. Jesus, we believe you can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us and in the church through all generations in Christ Jesus. And would you right now declare that with me? Jesus, I believe it. I believe it. It's going to happen this week. And let's give him all the praise and all the thanks together. Come on, Journey. Let's lift up Jesus.